Hi everyone, my name is Eleanor Ramona. I'm a singer-songwriter based in Guildford.
Yes, and what amazes me about you is the exciting news that you got one of your songs played on a primetime ITV TV show. So this was McDonald's and Dobbs, which is a detective series that you were on the other week. I mean, how does that even happen? How do you get your music on primetime ITV?
I think it's mainly luck, and it's being there at the right time in the right place. I have tirelessly plugged and shared and emailed different people to just get the music in those sort of series and in these sort of sectors. So the song was actually released in 2019. And since then, I have been tirelessly plugging. I created a video for it to give it a bit more leverage. And I guess it just fell in the right hands, in the right email inbox, in the right time. Wow. And yeah, it's very much luck. And I always say I do believe in fate. I do believe that things always happen for a reason. I don't know if 2 years ago I would have been ready for such an achievement. So I think...
You must have been absolutely chuffed, though. I mean, to get back to that meal saying, absolutely. How did they have? Did they just email you? Did they call you? Did they say, "Look, we're going to use your song"? How did that sort of come?
They sent me an email. So they sent me an email first and foremost, and the song is published under Centric. So Centric had to give their thumbs up to say, "Yes, this is okay. We are happy to do this," and it just went from there. So the email, it happened really quickly as well. It was quite a quick turnaround. So they sent me the email saying, yes, we would like to use this song in this feature. Please, they sent me an email with the actual feature of where the song would be in as well. So I got to see the video before anyone else did. Okay. I know. And it was always, until it actually aired, I was really anxious. I was like, oh, is this going to actually happen? Are we going to get this done? Is Centric going to respond in time? So they did, which was good. So Centric had to give the thumbs up for them, basically, to use it. But on the plugging part, it was myself that sort of went in and got these people interested. And then Centric just gave the go-ahead on the legal side, and here we are, sort of thing.
It's interesting that they're sort of using someone like yourself and not sort of going down a route of getting, you know, like something out of the charts or, you know, something that people may be more sort of familiar with. That's quite interesting.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I thought that as well. And the songs that featured in that episode, the two sort of very heavy pop songs that featured, were very well-known songs. So for mine to sort of sit next to them was amazing because... Yeah, I'm not really that well known. So for that to happen was pretty cool because it was like, okay, everything that I'm doing, everything that I'm working towards seems to be worth it because, yeah, it got noticed on that level. And in this day and age, I would say that something like that is incredible because we're in a lockdown. We're in a very difficult time. So to say that, and it gave me the go ahead to keep doing what I do, really. It really did help me mentally, I guess, if you like, keep going.
Are you a fan of McDonald's and Dobbs? Is it something that you'd watch? Is that be on your sort of watch list?
Funnily enough, I watched it last year when it came out. It was just something that was on. I wasn't like crazy about it. But then this year, because my music was in it, I was like, I kind of need to get into it. So I watched this. Yeah. I think it's very cleverly written. And I think it's something, it's quite lighthearted as well as it's quite like, you know, it's a bit like Miss Marple. It's like modern day Miss Marple. You know, it's quite light compared to some of the stuff that you see nowadays on TV.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a big fan of Jason Watkins as well. So yeah.
Yeah. I think both of them together made a really good duo. And the whole thing in itself, the song, where the song was featured was really cool because it was like a party scene where they were getting ready to go out and all of that. And it just reminded me of why I wrote that song, because the main reason I wrote it was for people to get ready and go out to it.
Wow. And actually watching the TV, you know, with your music playing on national TV, I mean, what was going through your mind? What was that experience like?
Well, it's quite surreal because you're like, you're in inverted commas, a nobody in the world of celebrity or whatever. So to get to that level, and it was just really surreal. It was really cool because it was like, this is the next step for me. So this is like the next level. A couple of my songs have already featured on This Morning Britain. Good Morning Britain, ITV This Morning feature. And that for me was an amazing achievement. And now this is almost like the next level up. This is like primetime TV.
Yeah.
It's what I want to do. So if someone asked me where I wanted to be in 5 years' time, it would be doing exactly that. sending your music out to different series and being a sync artist. That for me is where I want to end up. So to say that I've done that in a pandemic, I was watching, I remember just watching it and not even, it was kind of surreal. I didn't really believe that that was my song. I just was like, oh, there it is in the background there. And all my friends and all my work colleagues, they tuned in as well. And I'm sure for them it was nice to go, oh, we know this person.
Yeah. Well, for me watching it, because obviously, you know, I knew I was sort of going to be talking to you. So I watched the show on the iPad. I was like, yeah, I'm going to be talking to that person on the radio, so, you know.
thank you.
Hanging out with the rich and famous, you know. And
bless you.
You mentioned sync artists. Then. What is a sync artist? Then?
So a sync artist would be someone who gets their music on TV, film, and background music. So just like what that was. So you sync it with a TV series or with a film, and it's just in the background chilling. I mean, for me personally, I don't know if fame would be something I would want, because it would probably not help my mental health. But for someone like me, I think being a sync artist, being a writer, gigging, getting out there in my own right, that is where I sit nicely. Is basically what I'm doing now. And yeah, to say that I've done it, I'm 31, I've been doing this for a while. it's a brilliant achievement, and it's like, I'm really happy with it.
Well, we're going to actually play the song. It's Soul Sing, and that was the song that was on Dolls and Dobbs. So we'll hear that now.
Looking into your eyes, I see the sunrise brighter than the stars, my dear. You make me feel better than anyone ever. Better be by my side, oh yeah. Harder than the sparks that fly whenever you are near. Deeper than the ocean sky, your love is crystal clear.
Joined by Eleanor Mamona, who is a musician from Guildford, but you were actually brought up, Eleanor, in Greece, weren't you? So
yes, yeah. I was. Yes.
Okay, so how did you end up in Guildford?
Well, I ended up here due to the music school that is in Guildford, the Academy of Contemporary Music. So yeah. I left school knowing I wanted to pursue some sort of a career in music. And I came to Guildford, I think, 2008. Okay. And I've been here ever since. I haven't left. It's been a brilliant experience. I've lived here. Yeah, I've really enjoyed living here. The area is great. My family are still in Greece on Skiathos Island. So I get to go back home for summer, obviously in normal times. I wouldn't go back. You know, and that's really nice because I get the best of both worlds. I get to enjoy living and working in the UK, which, to be honest, is absolutely amazing. My mum's English, which is the accent, hence the accent, and my dad was Greek. So going back when I was younger, it was really nice to have the summer, the beach and all that. And now in Greece, obviously, there's not much to do on an island when you're a young person. So my mum always wanted me and my brother to have the best of both worlds and have a choice of what we wanted to do always. Okay. So coming to Guildford was... It was amazing because I always wanted to pursue, even as a young person, I wanted to pursue a career in music. And yeah, the jobs out here are great as well. I work full time and I wouldn't probably be able to do that when I was in Greece. So I wanted to, I guess, make a life for myself. And
why music then? I mean, you mentioned sort of from an early age, you sort of knew that music was a thing. What was it that sparked that interest in your early life?
You know what? I don't know. It's just something that's always been with me. I guess, like, I don't know, like, you know, if you're a young boy or whatever, you like football or it's just something that you automatically like. You just don't know why, but you just like it. I guess that's with me and music. It's just always something I've enjoyed. My family aren't exactly musical. My granddad was very musical, but apart from that, nobody in my family is. So I'm not really sure where it's come from, but just really, really have always been interested in music and songwriting. When I was really young, I had a little tape recorder that I would record songs on. And it's just always sparked from that. So my mum and my dad knew that music was something that I would be doing, even if it was on a hobby basis. So they were very open to me going to the ACM and going for it. So I was really grateful for that because I know some people aren't as lucky as that. So I am really grateful that I was given the opportunity to do what I do.
Yeah, I mean, the ACM is, you know, just such an amazing place. You know, I mean, some of the names when you sort of look at the amount of people sort of being through the doors, you know, it is amazing sort of the talents coming out of there.
Absolutely. There's some lots of good people even now. Funnily enough, I used to work for ACM not long ago, and some of the students, they're so talented, and it's so nice to see that place is still bringing out so many talented people and so many different people. So it is nice to be in the area and see that still, that music is not dead yet. It's nice to see.
It's nice to have it on your doorstep as well, right here in Surrey.
In normal times, you need a guitarist or a drummer for a band. You just go down there and you find them. Like, it's so easy to...
It's great.
For me, it's good.
Yeah, and there's so many other sort of, like, venues and, you know, places for music. You know, the Boiler Room. You've got the Farmy Bird venue in Woking. There's a lot going on, and it's just great. It's just great, you know, just the next generation sort of having that sort of space to get creative and perform and share their creations as well. Yeah. So mental health is something that I noticed you're sort of tweeting and putting on Facebook a lot. That's your journey in mental health. So tell me a bit about that.
So mental health is something that I feel even to this day and age is a big taboo. And talking about mental health has helped me deal with my own mental health issues, and being so open about it has helped me. So one of my aims through my music and through what I do is to help others be okay with certain aspects of their life and talk about it openly. Because I think again, especially in this day and age, we've got so much work to do still, where there's the stigma behind someone disclosing any issue that's not normal, in inverted commas. And again, one of my things is that a lot of my music has a story behind it. A lot of my music has a journey that I've lived myself and a realization.
Yeah.
Behind it, and I want to resonate with other people that have maybe felt the same way as me or maybe felt similar issues as me, because I think that's really important, especially as someone who is out there.
Yes, absolutely. Does it help you, you know, with your own sort of journey, and if you were to write a song about a specific issue around your mental health, does that sort of help you sort of in the process?
Yeah, it's really therapeutic. So yeah. One of the main reasons I do music is it's like medication to me. Sounds really corny, but it's true. It's like I always say that, you know, for people to do what they want to do and do it well. And one of the things I used to do was I used to look around myself too much. I used to like care way too much about what people thought. Mm. And it stunted me a bit musically. But now I'm being honest. I'm being honest with myself. And I'm being honest with people. And it's really helped me develop. And also it's helped me with my mental health. Like it's just helped me be okay. And it's part of my recovery journey is sharing my story so openly and out there.
So you have borderline personality disorder. Now that's something that a lot of us may have heard of, maybe don't know exactly what it is. So, you know, how would you describe that and how it
works in life? So someone who someone who doesn't know what that is, a borderline personality disorder is a behavioral disorder, and you can either inherit it just genetically, or it could be due to circumstances at a younger age or during your life. It also stands for emotionally unstable personality disorder. So on a good day, I can be talking to you like this. On a bad day, I might not be able to get out of bed. I might be very depressed. Imagine feeling normal feelings in inverted commas tenfold. So, you know, happiness feels like manic. It's like bipolar, but fast forwarded. Then you've got, you know, depressive episode, which feels very lonely and very empty. And you've got lots of different horrible feelings in there because you feel you get scared of people leaving you and stuff. So one of my issues is I have really bad abandonment issues, so like I'll always think that someone's out to get me even though they're not, and that can be quite difficult for the people around me because of course they don't understand to the full extent of what is going on in my head. And it's a difficult disorder to live with because you're constantly, you look so, again, I'm going to say the word normal, and actually there's so much going on. And a lot of people live with this disorder and nobody knows that they're living with it because it's so well hidden. We're like chameleons. We can just evolve into something because we're good at hiding it.
So people from the outside have got no idea what's going on in the inside.
No. And sometimes like you don't want people to know because you're embarrassed. Like for so long, I was ashamed of it. Mm. I only got the diagnosis back in 2019. So I've been living with it all my life. I've had difficulties all my life, but it's more recently that I've gone, okay, there's an explanation as to why I'm like this. It's not an excuse, but it's an explanation. And the people around me can get the support and look online, and I can help myself. And, you know, and it is a long journey and I have got a long way to go, but I definitely feel like I'm on the right road to recovery because I'm sorting out help. I'm aware of myself, you know, I'm at that age where I'm just aware of it. And I'm like, if I don't actively try and help myself, no one else can do it for me. I have to do this myself. I have to be engaging. I have to get the help. I have to go to these groups, these support groups, and put the work in. Because it's like going to the gym. You're not going to get fit and healthy unless you put the work in. And it's the same thing. You can't get results unless you don't try.
And just talking about it, I mean, you know, I guess these sort of things, you can go down two routes. You can sort of be open, you can talk about it and do what you're doing, like blogs about it and things like that. Or you can kind of, like you say, sort of shut yourself away and not talk about it. But do you find sort of going public and putting all your personal journey out there, is that sort of helping you?
Yeah, I believe so. As I said before, I was I wasn't honest with myself before. And now going out there publicly, it's helped other people as well. So a lot of people have come to me and gone, oh, I feel like that. Maybe I could go to the doctor and see if there's a diagnosis there or if there's traits there. And I just think that just being honest, it just showcases that the perfect world that people may see online isn't always perfect. And again, there's so many celebrities, so many people out there that are just showcasing this perfect world to these young people who unfortunately are getting influenced by it. And it's dangerous. And I think that there's a fine line between sharing your experience and being non-triggering and non-harboring and just sharing a completely fake world that's not real. Because at the end of the day, people want to see reality. And I was always so ashamed. I was brought up, as I said, on a Greek island where showing your emotion and showing any sort of like weakness, let's say in inverted commas, was almost like failure. So it took me a long time to actually go, you know what? I don't care anymore. I'm going to share my story and hopefully help somebody else go through the same thing as me or reach out to me. Because a lot of the time, if someone feels similar thoughts to you, they reach out. And if you're not being honest with them and you're showing this perfect world, they might be too scared or too ashamed to reach out to you. So no, I think there's a bit of work there from all of us to be doing that. And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And sort of talking about it, sharing experiences, definitely a good thing. We're going to hear another one of your tracks now. Now, this is Neon Lights, we're going to hear. And I gather this is written around mental health. Tell me a bit about
it. It is. So Neon Lights was written after a really dark time of my life. And it was almost like my comeback song to say, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be okay. And the neon lights basically resemble the happy chemicals and the happy electrons in the brain. And it's also a neon light, which is very vibrant and upbeat. And the song was to basically unite myself back with music and feel good enough again. Because I kind of took out a bit of time out because I just didn't feel I was good enough. I wasn't writing as much as I was. And the Neon Lights is actually three songs in one. And lots of different lyrics. And it was something that I just really wanted to release because I thought this might help somebody else. And it made me feel good writing it because it was positive. It was a positive outlet for something that was quite dark.
Absolutely. Well, let's give this one a play then. So this is Neon Lights.
I'll color outside the line. Not backing down or falling to our flaws. Won't lose our fire, we won't lose our shine. And they say, carve your name in the sky. And they go, don't lose your light in the shadow. Fit in a design. The world was yours, the world was mine. And we do it all again, strong until the end. I can't stop, won't slow down. And they say, carve your name in the sky. And they go, don't lose your light in the shadow.
Eleanor Ramona, and we're having a fascinating conversation, Eleanor, about your journey, the fact you've got your music on a national TV show, which is just awesome. That's what kind of first brought you to my attention. I'll be like, I've got to get you on the show if you're on national telly, you know.
Oh, thank you. Well, glad that, you know, it's great that post, because I posted on a local, you know, page, and you reached out to me, and it just shows how social media can work in mysterious ways. You know, I would be here today if you hadn't seen the post.
There you go. It's all about networking. Always keep an eye on what's going on in social media. It's not all about people were lost things and lost car keys and stuff like that. Occasionally, there's some interesting stuff that comes up on it. So we're also talking about your mental health journey and the blog. You did a blog, I believe, for the Mary Frances Trust.
I did, yeah.
And that was around borderline personality disorder.
Yes, it was. So it was explaining my story there. One of the main reasons I was asked to do it is because I've joined a peer-led group called the Sun Project, and it's tailored for people with my difficulties to meet together. I think there's four groups that go on during the week, and you can join all four or you can just join the one, and you can just chat with people who have similar difficulties with you. Yeah. And this, to be honest with you, was what was missing off the market. If I'd had this a couple of years ago, I think it would have definitely helped me, or maybe long further down the line, or it's been so helpful. And I wanted to help them as well by showcasing how useful it was for me, and writing a bit about personality disorder and how it affects me and what sort of things happen to me in a non-triggering sense, of course.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something to check out. If you are listening today and you feel, oh, I resonate with this person, or I feel similar difficulties, check out the Sun Project in Surrey, and I think it's Surrey and Hampshire, Surrey and Borders, and have a little look at it, because honestly, it's really helped me, and it's just made me so open, and it's helped me learn about other people too, and similar difficulty. So that's one of the main reasons I helped them out with that blog. And
it is good to know that the help is out there, you know.
So
just good to know that, you know, you're not alone in this, you know, and it's okay not to be okay. And, sort of the campaigns around getting everyone talking about mental health. So, definitely
100%.
Very, very important. And lockdown, I mean, you know, you're presumably working from home at the moment. I mean, what effect is lockdown having on your mental health, would you say?
It's so much better than it was. Like,
oh,
not
really?
Gonna lie.
Okay.
Yeah. Everyone.
What was expecting that?
I mean, unfortunately, the situation's out of my control. There's nothing I can do. And I've used that time to really just be in my own head and just help myself. And I've joined a lot of support groups. Because I'm working from home, I have the capacity to do that on a lunch break instead of having to travel. And it's really just opened my eyes. I've learned so much about myself, and I've just noticed so much more around me. And honestly, I needed this. And I know for a lot of people, it's been very difficult. But for me, on a personal level, it's been something that I've needed for a very long time. I overwork myself. Before lockdown, I was doing so much. I was always saying yes to people. I was always going out of my way, and I was just forgetting about myself. And with the lockdown, it was a good excuse to just chill and not have to do all of that. And also, it put things into perspective. And now I'm prioritizing my workload, and I'm saying no, and I'm being more proactive with that. Okay. And I'm looking after myself more. And without this time, I don't know if that would have happened. I don't know if I would be in the same position as I am now, which is very, I wouldn't say calm, but I'm in a place where I feel ready to get back out there now. And I just needed that. I needed almost like that sort of stop button, really.
See, that's really interesting to hear sort of that sort of perspective on lockdown, because I know a lot of people may be saying, you know, the anxieties around lockdown and the uncertainty and not being able to see their families and things like that could have a negative impact. But for you, it's almost like a positive in some ways for you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you're managing the sort of the home working and separating sort of work and your personal time absolutely. And all that sort of stuff.
I've managed to do it really well. I love the fact that I don't have to commute as well. Like, I just love it
as well.
second
commute from the bedroom to the home office,
from breakfast to and it's just so nice. Like, it's just so nice to like just feel like you're independent, more independent. Like, I can manage my own time. I can manage my lunch hour. I can go for a walk. I can get up when I need to get up. I don't need to feel awkward. And for me, in an office environment, I don't mind office environments, but I'm more proactive when I'm at home, if I'm honest. I just get it done quicker. <Yeah.
laughs> I mean, how's it, because we're coming out of lockdown, and if your office sort of reopens and you're expected to go back into the office, is that going to be a sort of an issue for you?
I think with our office, I work for a mental health charity.
Yes.
And I think because they're so sympathetic and understanding about mental health, I think what they're going to do is they're going to give us flexible hours. So they're probably going to say to us, like, look, as long as you're happy and as long as there's flexibility within the team, you can work from home for, like, let's say 2 days here, 2 days there, and be flexible around it. So the way that we were working before is probably not ever going to be a thing anymore, like 5 days a week, 9 to 5, sat in an office. Because actually, I think a lot of our staff have said, I feel better in myself because I can manage my own time. Yeah. We can reach more clients because we can do phone appointments and we're online doing stuff with clients. So if anything, we can reach more people. And I think going forward, there will be an option for clients to log on online instead of having to come to the office. And it just opens ourselves up for more people with more difficulties around, you know, maybe mobility or maybe they're, you know, agoraphobic. It just makes it more accessible for people as well.
Okay, this is you know, this is brilliant that, you know, sort of looking at the lockdown and taking things from that and sort of applying it to, you know, changing the way you work and stuff. So,
Yeah, definitely.
And gotta mention Miss Britain. This is another thing. So yeah, was it 2 years that you'll be in the final for that?
Yes.
Wow, how did that happen then?
Well, again, so, I seem to have like a lucky strike. A lucky little streak. I don't know how. I don't know. Someone must be watching over me somewhere. I sent an email through. I applied. I got through to the semi-finals. Had a few interviews, and they were asking me a lot of quite difficult questions. And yeah, I guess they liked what they saw and heard. And I'm back in the finals for this year. It's going to be held in September, I believe, in Leicester. Hey. Right. And yeah, like I did it last year as well, with 2020. And just before, actually, the lockdown started. And I have to say, it's so liberating. Like, you think pageant, you think, oh, it's going to be like the old times where it was a bit whatever. Actually, I went in with a mindset of, oh, goodness, what have I got myself into? Am I going to come out of this sort of scarred for life?
World peace and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. But actually, it's so different to what, you know. And I think obviously it helps that the organisation and the Miss Great Britain, it's a national pageant, so it's really well known. The organisers are great. They're so forthcoming, and everybody involved is really, really polite and friendly. But it also, it's just so, it's, as a woman, it's just so liberating to just stand on that stage and be like, you know what, I'm powerful and I'm unique and I'm celebrating that. And all the other women are unique and we're celebrating that together. Honestly, it was really beautiful. And I'm so excited, even if I don't win or whatever, I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it for the experience and the way that I felt, how I felt going on stage and just going, you know what, this is who I am. This is what I'm bringing to the table, you know? And
yeah,
we all just got on so well. And it was just so nice to just see women being together. And, you know, especially with lots of things that have been happening recently, it's definitely an important part of life, is just not competing against each other, but celebrating each other. And I have to say, that's definitely what happened with Miss Great Britain last year. And I'm pretty sure it'll be the same experience this year. Like, I left on such a high.
Okay.
Going on stage, it was just a little bit awkward for me, because when I normally go on stage, I normally will perform. So going on stage, it was more graceful, and sort of then leaving was a bit awkward. I was like, am I not supposed to be doing something? Like, that was difficult. But
knowing what I know. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone, though. That's what they say.
That's so, it. That's it. So it's a very different caliber to what I'm used to on that respect. But, you know, I grew out of my comfort zone and I grew as a person. It was a very different experience, but a very beautiful and liberating one. So I definitely recommend, again, if someone is thinking about it, look into it. And fingers crossed for you. I'm really happy, because I'm a normal size, I'm a normal height, just a bit below average. So I'm also doing it for the women that didn't think they were good enough, or the women that maybe felt that because they weren't the sort of, you know, society's perfect body or perfect whatever, they couldn't do it. And another reason I'm doing it is to set an example for the younger generation, to go, you know what, you just do you, and you do you proud, and just be proud of what you've got, because and celebrate that, celebrate who you are. And for me, it's hard sometimes as well, don't get me wrong. You know, I sometimes get up and I'm thinking, what am I doing, you know. I everyone has insecurities, everyone, including me, including anyone. But it's almost like part of my therapy as well, doing something like this, because it's like, you know, helping myself as much as anything else as well.
I love it. It all sort of links in back to sort of, like, you know, helping you know, the music, the blogs and everything else. It's been really good to talk to you and learn a bit about you and your journey. If we want to find out more about you, how do we do that?
So I'm on Instagram and Facebook mainly, and I'm under
Elena Ramona Official, which is spelt E-L-E-N-A Ramona Official. And I'm on Twitter, I believe, as Elena Ramona 90. Just hit me up if you like what you hear, or you want to follow me, or you want to reach out, please do. I'm also under a mental health forum called Change Your Stars, which is Change Your Stars Official. I'm the founder and the CEO and all the above. And that's the sort of a forum where I present some quotes and stories from, you know, real people's stories, and try and help people talk about mental health. And you can reach out to me on either platform and I'll respond. Okay.
Excellent. Well, we're going to hear now another one of your songs. So Electric Love, do you want to quickly tell me about that?
Electric Love is about the unconditional feeling of being in love. It's also about just being in the moment and enjoying life. It's a feel-good track. It doesn't really have much behind it, really. It's one of those tracks that just kind of came out in half an hour because I was in a good mood and I was like, get this down. And yeah, it's a really feel-good track and I hope you like it.
Brilliant. We'll get that one on now, and it's been really good to talk to you, and best of luck for everything in the future.
Thank you very much.
From up above.